Hey there, this is Seth Juarez again from Channel 9 coming to you from the Washington State Convention Center here for Build 2017 edition. I am so excited to have some guests with me today. If you were watching the keynote, I believe they started cutting onions there right at the end of the video. No, seriously, they're all laughing at me back there. They were having some hard time. It was dusty back there too. Why don't you introduce yourselves? Tell us who you are and what you've been working on. We'll start with you, Emma.
I'm Emma Lawton. I'm from London, and I'm a creative director as a job, but I'm working as a consultant with Microsoft at the moment as well, which is great.
Fantastic.
Oh, hi. I'm Hyan Jung. I'm innovation director at Microsoft Research in Cambridge, UK.
And we were just there. It's a beautiful facility. Oh, I love it. So let's start first. I think we have a video clip. What we're going to do is we're going to play it, and you're going to tell us what we're looking at, okay? Okay, so let's do it. All right, here we go.
Okay, so this is me trying to draw, not very well. I really struggle, and this is me drawing with the watch, writing my name for the first time with the device on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like...
That was a quick clip.
Yeah, it was super quick.
Seriously, every time I watch, and I've seen it like 3 or 4 times, like it hits me, right? Because I don't know, people know this, but I literally, like, I can't see without my contacts.
Wow, yep.
And that's a kind of technology that's helped me be able to do, like, what I want to do.
Right.
And it really hit me, because, like, if they want to make glasses for me, they have to hire 2 hobbits to go to the fires of Mount Doom to forge the lens of power, you know? And it's that. So how did you come up with this idea to help?
Right. So, I mean, I met Emma about a year ago, and we started working together, and we worked together as part of a BBC documentary series about how engineers can really develop, invent new kinds of technologies to help make real impact in people's lives. When I met Emma, you know, she's a graphic designer, a creative director, really succeeding in her own career, but she was unable to write or draw, and therefore liaise with clients, take client meetings. So, she has this tremor that doesn't go away when she starts writing. We started working together, thinking about, well, how can we help Emma regain her ability to write? And we tried a number of different prototypes. You know, we had like 4 or 5 different prototypes to try. We had pens with magnets in them, and then a giant aluminium slab that basically magnetized the pen. Remember, we were
highly
trying
portable. Did
it? It was a couple of kilos.
I'm trying to understand the backpack for that. Yeah. This is my tablet.
Look, here you go. Yeah, exactly. So, and I actually thought that prototype worked really well
because it
managed to dampen your tremors. And then just as a kind of last minute hunch, I sort of thought, well, just to back up a bit, we had visited Parkinson's UK, and we'd seen some other devices that people use to help with their symptoms, not tremors, but other kinds of symptoms. And one of these workarounds was this, people sometimes carry a metronome. So that they have a musical metronome that they take out. And when they have a Parkinson's symptom called freezing gait, so they'll be walking along and suddenly they can't walk, they'll take out a metronome and listen to it. And somehow their brain becomes distracted by the metronome, and they're able to regain control of their legs. And so based on that kind of insight into, you know, this is a brain hack. Maybe there's a way to hack Emma's brain into distracting her through some other...
She's right here. Yeah, I mean,
I'm trying to hack my brain all the time.
Just like, not on stage.
So this was really thinking about, well, how can we hack Emma's brain to help her regain control of her writing hand again? And so we tried out this prototype, you know, very early on, and seemed to work better than the aluminium slab, the magnet pen.
Easier to carry around.
Yeah, easier to carry around, yeah.
So then we just worked on it from there.
That's awesome. So, Emma, I'm going to ask you about a Parkinson's.
Yeah.
What is it? Educate me. I don't know very much about it.
It's a really complex neurological condition, and it's degenerative, which means it gets worse over time. There's no cure currently. There's medication, but most of the medication that we take is about 50 years old. So technology is really having to step up and help, really, to help with the symptoms. It's quite rare at my age. I was diagnosed at 29. I'm 33 now. Am I 33 or 34? 33.
You don't look a day over 26.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And yeah, it's quite rare at my age, but there's a fair amount of us. There's, you know, all over the world, there's people kind of at 8 diagnosed with it, 16 diagnosed with it. So we're all kind of trying to live lives with really old medication that is really not helping. So technology helps us every day.
So tell me about the process, how it was like for you. Because, I mean, when scientists come at it, I was a researcher in NLP, and when we come out of problems, we literally look at things dispassionately and try to find, what was it like for you to be going through this tablet and then these other devices? I'm sure there was lots of wires at one time.
It was always okay, because the great thing about Haiyan is she's really smart, but she's very kind of human-centered as a designer. There was wires, but it was always explained why there was wires. And I've never sort of felt like a test subject. I've always been a kind of contributor sort of in the project and really sort of worked with the guys to make it happen. So
tell me about, I mean, I know we saw that, but when you first put the watch on, and we're going to get a close-up of this in a little bit, I mean, what was the sensation? Because I saw when you turn it on, you're like, whoa. And I'm trying to think, what is she thinking? I wish I could ask her. And now I'm living my dream. So tell me about what was it like? How does it help? I'm trying to understand.
So it very lightly vibrates into my wrist. And I have this here, which is a tablet, which I can kind of control it through.
Okay, we're getting a good shot of that right now.
Okay, let's see if I can turn it on. I'm hoping I charge the battery.
We haven't solved the battery issues yet. Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Sorry, Han, you might have to help me. We need to sort the interface out just to get it exactly right. But so basically, this is the control that we can use, and it controls 4 vibration points within the wrist strap. And I prefer like a more kind of regular rhythm with it, because my tremor itself, as you'll see, is quite rhythmic. If I put my hand against a drum, I'd probably beat a perfect rhythm. And it basically is just white noise into my wrist, of sort of just a vibration that just pulses. So it feels very gentle. It doesn't feel harsh or anything, but it just makes me sort of forget that I need to worry about my tremor.
But what does that mean? Like, I'm trying to understand, like, how did you forget? I mean, I'm really interested.
It's really, really hard to put into words, but I was suddenly able, as I was approaching the paper, I was still shaking. Mm-hmm. But as I hit the paper, there was control there. Uh-huh. And that's the weirdest thing, because every time I do it, people think it's not going to work, because I'm still, you know, shaking crazily as I head towards the paper. But then as I hit the paper, it's just this control and I can write.
And is there like a different, is there different settings? Is it adapt to what's going on?
There is. I mean, it doesn't adapt at the moment. That's kind of something, you know, we could potentially look at in the future. But at the moment, it's sort of, I can kind of set it to different rhythms and different patterns. And I find one pattern works really well for me, but I can mix it up if I find I need to.
Wow. Is there like future research in the idea of having adaptive patterns?
Yeah, well, we sort of turn research on its head, in that we found this great solution that works for Emma, and now we're working with clinical neuroscientists in London to do more clinical studies. We're bringing in more people with Parkinson's to try out this device and also other kinds of patterns. You know, we think that this particular pattern works for Emma, but there might be other patterns that can adapt for different kinds of people. I think there's a lot of future potential for this kind of effect.
Awesome. So a question's coming in from Nick. How did you meet?
Through the documentary. So they kind of sort of paired us up. I think you expressed an interest in working on my sort of problem to solve it. And they kind of gave me a call sheet for the documentary, and they said, oh, we're not going to tell you who it is, but they put her name on it. So I sneakily checked it and nice. Found out who she was, and was really excited to meet her, because women in tech are, you know, really inspiring.
Oh, I know. Look, I am of the opinion that we should have had women in tech from the beginning of time, because we'd all have our jetpacks and be living on Mars. And I'm a little offended that we have not been using that computational power this whole time. So tell me about the future of this. What's the future of this particular project? Obviously, there's a really cool app. There's a cool device. It looks like it was really manufactured well. Are you going to mass produce these things?
So at the moment, I mean, now comes the science, where we do have to do a lot of research. We have to see, well, how does this scale in terms of other types of Parkinson's symptoms, other people with Parkinson's? You know, I'm working, so Emma's now joined our team, and I'm working with a collaborator from the research lab, Nicholas Villar. So we're developing out a broader vision for this technology, which is, you know, can we apply this effect to other parts of the body? Can we think about other activities? Because right now it really helps with her riding, but can we think about other activities that might affect different parts of the body? And also, if there are these potential wearables, could we think about, well, how can we be tracking symptoms? How can we help Emma and other Parkinson's sufferers track their symptoms over time and offer them insights into their symptoms and also advice on when to take medication dosage, which I think will bring in that element of intelligence of AI into play into this this technology.
So let's get down to, and I know we saw it on the video, but like when you were putting your pen down, like you said, it looked like it wasn't going to work, but then it just did. What was that like for you?
I felt a whole sense of different emotions because we'd had this kind of build up and they'd said to me as part of the documentary, we're going to try and make something that'll work, but we can't guarantee it. And I knew that Haiyan was on the project, so I'd stand more of a chance, but still I was, you know, not 100% sure. So there was a lot hanging in the air. And I think you can probably tell if you watch the full kind of clip, how much it means to the two of us that it actually worked. We are so scared, we're so excited, we're so, like, all the emotions. And just the realization that we're on the brink of something amazing was just incredible.
So is this a device that now you use every day? Is it something that's formed part of your life?
Yeah, so when I'm sort of drawing and sketching and things like that as part of my job, it means I can do it. So it's given me the opportunity to control my own career. You know, I was starting to imagine that I'd have to have a different career because it's difficult to be a creative director and not explain your designs through sketches or to be able to practice what you preach, to be able to say to a team member, I want you to do this, when you can't do it yourself, it feels weird.
Yeah.
So it's great to be able to know that if I want to go into something else in the future, I can do, but I don't have to. I can choose my own future, which is really exciting.
So tell me about how long this actually took. How long did it take to go from beginning, like, hey, we just met, to we've got something that works?
I think it took about 6 months up.
Yeah. That's not a long time.
No, it's not.
No, I know.
Well, you know, we have this other thing called cancer. Do you want to get on that too? Seriously, that's amazing.
One
6 months.
Step at a time.
She's like, well, I have next year for that, right?
I think we skipped a lot of steps in terms of doing, you know, proper scientific research in order to get to this result. And now we're kind of going back and gathering that scientific knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And so what's the future of this? You mentioned some for other parts of the body. Is this something that's going to be extended to people that maybe have other kinds of degenerative diseases? What do you think?
I mean, that's one hope that we have, that I guess tremors as a symptom is sort of very dominant in terms of other kinds of motor diseases. Mm. And so we're, you know, thinking of potentially expanding out to testing with people with essential tremor or dystonia as well.
Awesome. So tell us about this application. How is it built? What's going on here? Because now this is my programmery guy coming out, and I'm just like, how did they build this? How does it interface with those?
Well, it's a UWP app.
Nice. Nice.
And basically the watch itself is, you know, when we went from the wires, from all these kinds of cables coming out, it being tethered to a laptop, to having a very standalone PCB device. It's got a battery built in, it's rechargeable, and this is where I'm working with Nick, my collaborator, and, you know, we built this custom PCB. It's talking to the tablet via Bluetooth low energy.
Okay.
So it's basically the tablet is, you can use the tablet to set the particular pattern, and then that sends it to the watch to do the vibration.
I see. That's awesome. Like, now I'm trying to see, like, my question for you is, like, now in your day-to-day work, what's it like now that you feel like you've gotten all of your ability to draw back? Is there something that you have to train yourself more for?
I feel like I'm drawing more because it's a novelty as well. So I'm sort of, I actually volunteer to draw things now. You know, if someone says to me, do you want to draw? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. You know, people will say to me, let's do things digitally. And I'm like, let's do them manually. Let's try it. And so I'm always the one that, you know, if someone says, let's try this, and both of us are like, oh, should we give it a go? Because, you know, there's so many opportunities to, I think it's kind of a dying art to, you know, share your ideas through the means of sketch. And it's lovely to be able to carry on doing that.
See, I have not a creative bone in my entire body. And so, like, I am impressed by people that do creative stuff. And I love the idea that you're mentioning that, like you want to go from directly from your head to a piece of paper. That's something that's tremendously important.
That's the way I was trained. So, you know, a lot of people now are kind of digitally native. They were growing up with tech and they know to kind of, they can communicate through tech instantly. It takes me that little bit longer. I need that kind of thinking stage. The minute I put kind of pixel on screen, that for me is a final design. Mm-hmm. I like that kind of bit in between where I can work things out and just to be able to take, you know, meeting notes and sign my name somewhere. You know, it's just, it's a really nice thing to be able to do now. And the signing of your name thing is incredible because, you know, as humans, our name is really important. And to not be able to write your own name as a grown-up is incredibly frustrating because people don't understand why you can't do it.
Right. Mm.
So the first time I wrote my name, that's why I wrote my name. It was important for to do that.
Like that's when their onions were being cut. Yeah. In the keynote room. How many people were working on this?
Well, so Emma and I, you know, we collaborated together and myself and Nicholas as well. So it's a small team. Of course, I got lots of input and advice. I talked to a professor of physics at Oxford University who was talking to me about magnetic eddy currents. So that was super interesting. I learned a whole lot as well.
That sounds awesome. That's cool. So one of the things that I'm interested in is as a developer, if I have an idea that's kind of going to help out like this, how do I go about making this? I mean, because there's a lot of IoT stuff out there.
Yeah.
Anyone can write a UWP app. Anyone can learn. What suggestions do you have for people that have an idea that can help like this?
I mean, I think it's really important to, when we're thinking about technology and how technology can help, to really focus in on the individual and focus in on people. I think in IoT, I think we have a tendency to think in the abstract, to think about platforms and systems and to develop out, you know, completely new systems, which is a really intellectual challenge. But I think it's really important to find actual people in your community, people that you work with that might have a need, and then to create specifically for that need. Because from that, once you know it helps one person, mm-hmm. you can scale that up to help lots of people.
Nice. So going forward, this is obviously a very inspiring story. Do you have any plans on talking about this stuff or blogging or doing something with it?
I'm actually doing a 365-day video blog that I'm going to try and do some more kind of sketching and drawing and things in.
Oh,
it's kind of
goodness.
Generally about Parkinson's.
That's amazing. And when is this 365 days start, like today or yesterday?
No, it started, I'm on my 31st day today. So I'm doing all right. I'm getting there.
That's pretty amazing.
But I'm trying to do some sort of sketching as part of that to do that. And yeah, just, I do a lot of speaking events and things like that. So it's great to be able to talk about it.
That's awesome. I have a hard time doing something every day, like brushing my teeth. So this is amazing.
Yeah, it might get boring by like the
250. Emma's actually a celebrity in her own right. She's already done a number of TEDx talks on her journey through Parkinson's.
See? So.
Celebrity. Least celebrity.
Of course. I was pretty excited when I heard you were coming on because to me, this is, like I said, most people don't know, I can't see without contacts.
Right.
Like I would literally crash into things and do dumb things, feel like a general idiot more than you see me now. And so to me, that kind of technology, which was probably revolutionary back then,
right.
Now we can do tons of things. Because, I mean, look, I mean, on the back of this is my work badge, okay? It has is a little blue badge. On the back, it literally says, empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. Right? I mean, and like this to me is exactly that. Why don't you speak to that a little bit?
That's great. I cannot express how much I agree with that motto. You know, when we think about technology and its role in society, I really believe in innovation. I really believe in tech's ability to transform our society, to transform humanity for the better. And right. I think that's what that motto speaks to. It's about our goals should be about empowering people, not just tech for its own sake.
Right. So where can people go to find out more about this project? Maybe watch the larger BBC documentary, which is going to sound amazing because they're going to have British accents. It's going to be even smarter than normal.
I am.
To just kind of sign up for more information, people could email projectemma@ Microsoft.com.
Okay.
And that'll, you know, we'll be releasing some more information as we undertake more studies. There's the Microsoft Accessibility blog where we'll be posting updates on this project. In terms of the BBC documentary, I think people should write into the BBC to get it to air in the US. It hasn't actually aired in the US yet.
Petition.
So, yeah, I mean, I mean, you've got that to look forward to.
Yeah, awesome. And where can we go to find out more about what you do, your work, read every single day of your 365-day journey?
So you can, if you Google me, I tend to come up Emma Lawton Parkinson's. But if you go to YouTube and type PD365, that's where you'll find all the videos.
So these are videos of every
day. Videos. Oh, gosh, yeah, I've made a rod for my own back, definitely.
That's amazing. And look, if there's anything I could ever do to help, you know, like clean toilets, pick up the trash, set up chairs, I'm happy to do that. This was a very inspiring story. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Thanks so much for watching. We have coming up next Azure Database for PostgreSQL and MySQL, which is exciting, but not as exciting as this.
Oh.
Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thanks
for watching, and we'll see you after the break. 5 minutes.